I was generally pleased with Brian Gain yesterday. I'm not going to say I was impressed. I don't know. As I said in the last segment, if I'd been overly impressed with him, I might have thought, like, all right, is this guy just completely full of crap? I've been duped by way too many cult of personality types in sports and beyond, in life, the televangelist types, that whenever somebody's actually really polished in person, I distrust that.
That's a smart way to do things.
Because so many people that are really, really good at talking aren't good at doing all the other things. So I like a lot of politicians per se. They're really good at getting elected, but they can't actually follow through on their promises. So the fact that he came off to me kind of like an engineer, almost like a no nonsense. Hey, this is the way we go about it, and this is how we're going to do it. You know, like, is Nick Saban? Nick Saban would be the ideal for this. Is Nick Saban a charismatic dude? Does he get up in front of a? And I don't think he ever was. It's not like. I feel like Belichick got to the point where he is now, and once he got to a certain point, he was like, screw everybody. I'm going to do this however the hell I feel like doing it. Saban is like exactly who he is and always has been from the time he was 21 years old.
I thought it was weird, though, how Brian Gain went up there and basically like wrote his feel-good story where he basically listed all his accomplishments and said, this is how I arrived to this point. I thought that was the only thing that was a little bit weird to me.
Like it was an acceptance speech?
Like, this is, I finally arrived. I started from the bottom. Uh-huh. 20 years. I did everything. I had integrity. All that. Yeah, he had like, it was weird that he was basically
Pearl River, New York, and now we're here.
I thought that was weird, but you know me, Seth. I'm obsessed with press conferences. I absolutely love press conferences. I call myself the podium critic. I judge press conferences. I grade press conferences. And if we're going to give Brian Gain a grade for yesterday's presser, I'll give him a solid B.
Right. And I told I'll take a B because I feel like an A would be somebody that I don't trust. Like, hell, that was a hell of a delivery, but I think you might be, you know, messing around with one of your constituents or something. This was perfect. I do think, though, that you call yourself a podium critic, but you need to refine the process a little bit more. You need to be like you remember the old legendary Cowboys evaluation process where they had like 20 different traits that a quarterback has to have.
Right.
You need to evaluate specific traits.
Oh, this process is laid out.
Let's take you through. This is when we first heard from Brian Gain. Let's hear the first clip. Oh, you were opened up with that. I apologize. You already heard that. What was your first impression? Immediately upon seeing him and hearing him, what was your first impression?
First impression was he looks the part of a GM. He looks the part of somebody that's important, and he looks the part of somebody that's going to be extremely organized, and he sounds the part of someone who's very organized from that Parcells school that he comes from.
Okay. All right. Now, this is an important one. The job of a GM can sometimes be not only tedious, but physically grueling. You're flying around a lot. Cabin pressures, cabin altitudes, 8,000 feet. You're dehydrated. You're going from city to city. You're looking at all these kids that might end up getting you fired someday or might end up making you the greatest GM ever. You need to be in good physical shape. What was your impression of his physical condition overall?
He looks like he's in pretty good physical shape. I will say that the podium was kind of covering his stomach, so I couldn't tell if you know, maybe he had a little bit of a dad bod, but
I
he looks like someone who might
him.
Work out
he,
in the morning.
He leaned back about 3 or 4 minutes into it, and then I could see there was no overlap from the belly over onto the belt area. Like, I feel like you could see his belt if he was standing up. That's enough for me. I don't look at Jerry Butler is a guy who was he was a GM for the Bills for a long time and ultimately died before he should have because the job got to him. He was a young, strapping dude, and then he gained weight over time. I like Brian Gain. He looks younger than his actual age.
He does.
He's in his early 40s, and I would have thought that this is like some young whippersnapper, like early 30s dude. If it weren't for a little bit of gray in his hair, I would have thought he's much younger than he is.
Yeah, he looks young. Another thing that I wanted to judge it by as well is, did he answer all the questions?
Yep.
I thought he answered all the questions. The only question that he didn't really answer was when they asked him about Rick Smith's future role. He basically handed that off to Bob McNair and said that McNair had already answered that question about the future role. That's the only question that he dodged. But he answered all the questions, he looked the part, and he was sharp, which puts you in route to getting a B grade.
In terms of that, I actually was impressed with the first time he went off script. Because he got up there, I don't know if it was bullet points or if it was scripted, but he gave a pretty smooth delivery. We just heard that there. The first question of McLean was just flat out, how'd you get the job? Which can be, that's kind of a hard question. That doesn't seem like it on Sirius, but that's like immediately you think, like, what are you asking if I bribed somebody or something? I am overly impressed sometimes when people can speak extemporaneously without stammering and stuttering.
See, I can't even say that word.
But I struggle with that, as you know. So when he's asked kind of a more difficult question than it might seem, because you're standing up in front of, or you're sitting up in front of a group of people all at once, and basically it's like that hardest question in a job interview, which is like, tell me why you're awesome. And you don't want to come off sounding like a pompous jerk, but you also have to sell yourself a little bit. I thought he did a good job of that. Okay, this is harder to judge from just this process, but based on what you saw yesterday, Landry, podium critic, what do you make of his leadership ability and his drive and vision for the organization?
I feel like as soon as he talks, he will own a room. I feel like he will be able to moderate a discussion between O'Brien and all the other scouts. So that's one of the things that I did like about him and what got him a B. What prevented Gane from getting an A was the overall entertainment value. And you hear a lot of media types, including our own Mike Meltzer, talk about, well, I want the GM to be more available. Rick Smith wasn't available enough to the media. I want him more available. I will say, while I was entertained by Brian Gane's press conference because it was the first time I saw him, he has potential to get extremely boring if he did talk to the media on a weekly basis. So I worry that if he was available weekly, I might get bored of him.
I don't want him weekly. I really don't.
What do people want to ask the GM?
I never know what to say to Mike when he says it, because it's not like I'm going to be upset if the GM got up there and spoke all the time.
But what do you want?
Like, I love listening to Luno. I love listening to Daryl Morey. But just because I love something doesn't mean that it should be a requirement in everything that I like. I like ice cream. It doesn't mean I want to have it while I'm having sex. You know, like it's so that Brian Gane doesn't need to be my ice cream during sex. He can just go on about his business. And honestly, in football, I feel like a lot of really successful GMs are just, you don't see them at all. And when guys used to come here, when Rick Smith was first here in that first year, I can remember a few different guys on the team commenting about how it was weird that Rick Smith was out at practice so much during the season. Like, because places they had been, I hadn't really thought about it, but places that these various guys had been, the GM was always squirreled away up in his office breaking down film, or he's out traveling. Ted Thompson in Green Bay, I talked to Dom Capers about this. Dom said that one of the great things about Green Bay is that you never see the front office people. Like, they're always gone. Ted Thompson was always a road warrior, he's out doing other stuff, and the football people could just be football people. I do wonder if maybe it's as simple as that sometimes. Maybe Rick Smith was just flat out around too much, and Bill O'Brien wants to be just left to his own devices to handle the football side of thing. And maybe Brian Gane is much more comfortable just doing the personnel side of things. And almost by not being around each other as much, maybe they end up having a better relationship.
I thought his press conference, if we are going to compare it to his predecessor, Rick Smith, I felt like it was a little bit more authentic, and it had less of a corporate vibe. I feel like Rick Smith had his stuff planned out a little bit, which is why I gave a B. What does alignment mean? Does alignment mean that him and O'Brien are going to get along better? Because we've heard them say that 476 times this offseason. They keep talking about alignment. I'm confused by what exactly alignment means. Does that mean they're not going to have disagreements? Does that mean the disagreements are going to be more healthy? What does alignment mean?
I think that there's a certain type of player, perhaps, that Rick Smith covets the most, and maybe there's a certain type of player that Bill O'Brien covets the
most. That was the most disappointing thing too.
What's that?
The fact that he did say basically that they're going to look for players of high character. That was the most disappointing thing.
Everybody says that. Yeah, but Jerry Jones says that. Jerry Jones said that.
Okay,
That? He said it was the most important thing they look at.
Okay, well then.
Jones said that.
Well then, okay. But that was the one thing I was disappointed about, is when he said he was going to look for guys with high character. I was very upset by that.
First of all, you're exaggerating. You weren't upset by that. You want them to maybe push the limit a little bit.
A little bit.
The key guy, this is the guy. I was struggling to think of, like, okay, when we say that, who do you actually want? I think the guy that defines that the best is who was willing to take a chance on the Honey Badger. Because the Honey Badger, and this is the thing with the Honey Badger.
There you go.
He was a guy who was largely, I'll say victimless crimes. I hate that term because it's always a crime.
Synthetic marijuana.
Plus his demons were ones that affected him and him alone. He wasn't like a Greg Hardy who was going out and hurting other people.
Right.
He was hurting himself. Guys like that, there's always this distinction you have to make when you're evaluating players in the NFL. Like, There are guys who have youthful indiscretions. There are guys that have their own substance abuse issues. But at the core of it all, are they bad dudes? And the Honey Badger seems very much... Matthew seems like a guy that's like, he's got issues, but he's not a bad dude. Where guys like Greg Hardy, and just judging from what people that have played with him say about, like, he's a bad dude. And there's... It's a pretty simple distinction. If there was a character risk that I would be willing to take onto this team that perhaps they wouldn't have before, it's guys like the Honey Badger, because he was a huge bargain. You know, you're taking first-round talent that drops or what have you because of those issues. Now, you can't have a... You can't be the Bengals and have nothing but those guys every draft, or just make a practice of it. But I'm okay with that. So Landry gives Brian Gain a solid B, which I reinterpret as being an A, just because that's the kind of guy I want.